that's all behind us. Amen. The Lord has blessed since then, no doubt. Oh, it's good to be with you all again this morning. We're in Mark chapter 4. If you can or unable, would you stand with me to read and honor God's word? God's word is absolutely perfect. It's inerrant. It's infallible, meaning that it cannot record error or teach error. Folks, it has been inspired. God breathed it out, and God promised to preserve it. And hallelujah, today we get to hold the very word of God in our hands, and we can trust it for eternity, and we can trust it with the problems of today. Amen. All right, I feel better now. We can get started. We jump in this narrative about verse 35. In Mark chapter 4, about verse 35. Well, it is not. It's not about. It is verse 35. I love hearing the sounds of the pages of the Bible turn, don't you? That's why one of the things I don't like about the app on my phone that's the Bible doesn't make any noise. I think they need to add a sound bite so when you hit it on it, it goes, wouldn't that be cool? Yeah, amen. All right, here we go. Everybody ready? And the same day when the even was come, the context is Christ, so I'll use his name here, Jesus saith unto them, let us pass over into the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship, and there were also with them other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Let's pray right there. Father, we're before you this morning. We pray there be lost among us, that they be saved. And for the saints, I pray you'd encourage them and strengthen their faith today. In Jesus' name, help us now. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The title this morning, if you're taking notes, is that Jesus is bigger than we thought he was. Amen. Jesus is bigger than we thought he was. If you're not taking notes, the title is, Jesus is bigger than we thought he was. So either way, it's the same message. Amen. So I want to ask you a question as we get into this. Don't answer it now, but be thinking about it. And if I remember at the end, I'll ask you the question then, and then answer it by the help of the Holy Spirit. And the question is this. Will you trust the Lord with the storms in your life? So let's jump into this historical event and see what the Lord has for us this morning. This account was recorded for us also in Matthew 8 and Luke chapter 8 and here in our text in Mark chapter 4. A little bit of the background, Jesus was just coming down from the Sermon on the Mount. To summarize the events leading up to this particular night, we find Jesus demonstrating his power over leprosy. He was dealing with a leper who stated, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Jesus put forth his hand and said, I will, be thou clean. Aren't you glad there's healing in the Lord? Boy, don't we live in a crazy day right now? Boy, I tell you what, there's some stuff going around. I am glad that Jesus Christ is our rock. Later, he heals the centurion's servant, long distance. He is headed to his house. He sent his servant out. So, no, don't come. I'm not worthy to have you come under my house. Just say the word and it'll be done. And Jesus was, in fact, the Bible says Jesus marveled at his faith and said, I have not found so great a faith. No, not in Israel. Then he went to Peter's house and heals Peter's mother-in-law. She had a fever. That means Peter's married. It comes together. It's a package deal. Amen. And by the way, that means Peter, he's not the Pope. Don't even go there. But here's the thing. They brought many people to him that night that was possessed. And the Bible says, and he healed them, cast out the devils with the power of his word. Folks, there is power in the word of God. It's a fulfillment of Isaiah 53:4, where he said, and he took himself, himself took our infirmities and bear our sicknesses. The scribes are part of this crowd, and they said, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus began to explain to them, if you're going to follow the Lord, there's going to be a cost involved. He explained that the foxes have dens and the birds of the air have their nests, but he had not where to place his head. And wouldn't you know it, here come the excuses. Blah, 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 blah. There's not a good excuse for not following the Lord. See, they were interested in seeing the miracles, but they were not interested in giving their all to Christ. In Luke, we find him preaching about the sower, and he taught many things by parables, and he taught his doctrine. Folks, doctrine is still important today. Absolutely is. In Matthew 8:18, he gave the commandment to depart into the other side. And back in our text now, Mark chapter 4, look with me here in verse number 35. And the same day when the even was come, Jesus saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. In Matthew 8, it was in an imperative. Here is an imperative. Jesus gave a command for his men to pass over unto the other side. Folks, with the command comes the enabling. Remember that. That's where the enabling comes from, is from the command of God. Amen. That means today, the same enabling power of the Spirit of God is there for us. And we can fulfill the commands of God still yet today in the crazy world in which we live. Regardless of our world spinning out of control, God, Christ, is still in control. We can serve him with his enabling grace, and hallelujah for that. All right, let's get into this. All right, Jesus gave the command to pass over on the other side. He sent away the multitude. I want you to notice something here in verse number 5, or 35. Let us. Boy, I like that part. They didn't have to go alone. Jesus' men were in the boat with him. You might say they're all in the same boat. Amen. They were all in the same boat. But they were with Jesus. And we have a promise like that today. He promised he'll never leave us or forsake us. Amen. Hallelujah for that. Well, that's an encouragement to me, folks. Thank the Lord for that. In fact, he even said to Matthew, what is it? Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I heard one brother say that's why he doesn't fly in an airplane. Because he said, lo, I'm with thee always. Anyway, I just thought I'd throw it in there. Hey, they were in the will of God. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes.
They're serving the Lord. He told them, get in the boat. Let's pass the other side. They're obeying him. They're in journey. And they're in the will of God. With me?
Yes.
Now, these are his men, the disciples. Agreed? So in other words, it's not Joe Smo out here on the street corner that doesn't even know God. It's not some kind of God hater. These men have walked with them. They're very close to the Lord. They're his friends. They know the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? That's why I believe that this passage is so relevant for us today. We're not talking about folks out running with the devil. We're talking about the folks that are loving the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're in the same boat together. And as he's given us commands, as we endeavor to follow those, guess what happens? The storm gets in the way. Yeah, and I know you read to the end of it already, but let's not go there yet. Let's just think it through as it's happening here. Then comes the storm. Folks, the storm seems to be in the way. Look in verse 37. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that was now full. There arose a great storm, and it beat the slop out of the boat, and the Bible says that the boat is now full. Question, church, what does a boat do when it's full of water? It sinks. Okay, there's a problem here, okay? Now, I remember when we just turned the year into 2020, and I remember in late December and early January, we're preaching things like, here's 2020, what a cool year for a theme, and we're things like perfect vision, refocus, the vision of the year, perfect, and we're like, wow, this is exciting, and then the storm hits. Right? Okay, they're in the boat. They had seen many things happen just the evening before, just a few hours before. They're obeying the Lord. They're in his will. They're purposing to follow what he's told them to do. And then the storm hits. The storm seems to get in the way, and a couple of brothers I read on this, I'm assuming they're brothers, and they said that they believe that this storm was sent by the devil. Now, I don't know if it was actually sent by the devil or not. We're certainly not going to split the church over that one, but it's possible that he sent it. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't, but either way, they're in a storm, and it's filled the boat, and the boat's full. Okay? Now, I do know that the devil has hindered the work of God before in my life. Has he ever hindered the work of God in your life? Amen. Folks, I believe there's some scripture on this. In 1 Thessalonians 2:18, the Bible says, wherefore, we would have you come, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, shows this happened more than once and again, but Satan hindered us. Point blank, black and white right there. The devil at times can hinder the work of God. Been there? Trying to serve the Lord, we're all pumped up, we're moving forward, and then the storm hits. The waves beat into the ship, so now that the ship is full, and if the storm sinks your boat, do you think that's going to hinder getting the job done? Amen, I believe it would. Now stay with me, some of you are starting to miss this here. So when the boat is full and begins to sink, and then you show up a couple of days late, you're all wet, you come walking up on the shore, and people go, what's up with you, man? Where have you been? Where, you're late, you've blown it. And it's like, well, my boat sank. I think that would be a pretty good excuse, don't you? If your boat sinks, that's going to hinder what you're supposed to be doing. It ain't going to hinder what's going on. Well, your boat sink. Okay, well, hang on. Folks, here's where we're going this morning. I want to caution us to be careful when our boat's full and beginning to sink. That's when the devil launches an all-out attack and begins to bombard us with his fiery darts. Folks, that's when it goes on. So I asked this morning, what circumstances are hindering you right now from fulfilling the will of God in your life? Folks, this is when the devil launches an all-out attack, and I believe one of his first fiery darts that he is launching is that of confusion. Now, who's the author of confusion? Well, we know it's the devil. Lord, here I am. I'm trying to serve you. We have big plans this year. It's 2020. That, you know, back in the springtime, the spring was coming. We're planning to ramp up our visitation. We want to hit the streets more this year. Boy, we want to knock it out for Christ. And we're all pumped up about it. And then this happens. And we had to shut things down instead. We had to shut down the nursing home ministries. And those folks quit hearing Jesus preach. We had to shut down the jail ministries. And those folks quit hearing Jesus preach. We had to shut down the bus. And the children's ministries got tapered off. In fact, some even stopped. And now what about these little ones? These little boys and girls, they're not hearing the gospel like they were. What's up with this? I don't understand it. Well, boy, this is confusing. Have you been there? Has it been a time of confusion? Folks, I believe it has. Another fiery dart right behind confusion is this one called fear. Hasn't there been a whole lot of fear-mongering going on? And tell you what, and you can sit there and be all pious if you want and think, well, I haven't been scared. I haven't been concerned about this at all. And then I'll switch and preach on lying. Yeah. Folks, there's been fear involved with this, even amongst God's people. Again, we're talking about the Lord's disciples in the same boat with him. We're not talking about those dancing with the devil. We're talking about the ones with right there with Christ. They're dealing with confusion. They're dealing with some fear. In fact, they even began to fear for their own lives. And, oh no, everybody in America is going to catch this thing, and half of them are going to die. And hang on just a second. That's not true. Folks, this is how they've spun it. But according to the statistics, 99.983% chance if you do get it, you're going to live. That's pretty good odds. You say, where'd you get that number from? Okay, here's where it gets debatable. I don't know if you can trust these people or not. This came from the University of Southern California. It also came from the University of Washington. So here's two places put out this number, that in America, If you do catch it, you have 99.983% of making it. Not that I want anybody to get sick, and there's some folks, and it's getting closer to our circle, and some dear friends and all, and my heart goes out, and we're praying for them, so I'm not being lighthearted with this at all. But folks, the fear that's out there, the devil's having a heyday with God's people, having them bound up and scared to death. Hey, when's the last time you had a surgery that the doctor gave you a 99.983% chance of making it? Most of the time, the doctor gives you maybe an 80% or 90%. So you see what I'm saying? Keep it in perspective. So here comes the confusion. Here comes the fear. Another fiery dart of doubt. Oh, the doubt, I'm not going to make it. Can we trust God on this one? And folks, the devil's being effective right now in changing the world's opinion of Christians. They're calling us foolish or reckless because they're saying you're denying science, and then it causes us to lose our credibility. And I'm thinking, hey, hang on just a second. True science always has and always will verify the validity of God's word. Amen? So we're not against science, true science, that is. And we need to be wise, but at the same time, we ought not, nor do we need to, run in fear with this thing. Amen. And then the doubt, and to begin to doubt God. And right behind that, you have the fiery dart of confusion, one of fear and of doubt. And then here comes one, worry. All that stuff's from the devil, folks. Oh, I'm not going to make it. How am I going to take care of myself? Well, first off, God said he would. Amen? So be careful, folks, because here we are in the storm, and the wind is beating the slop out of our boat, and our boat's full. And you already said when the boat's full, it begins to sink. That causes the fear, the confusion, the fear, the doubt, the worry. And here comes one of his arrows. And again, I'll remind you, we're not talking about the lost people here. We're talking about God's people here in his boat that's very close to him. And folks, here's one of the tricks of the devil. He'll send in a fiery dart in the midst of this storm, and he'll get you, here it is, he'll get you to begin to doubt that God even cares. See, where'd you get that from? The disciples. What'd they say? Master, carest thou not? What caused them to doubt the Lord's care? You with me, folks? So don't think that couldn't happen. It can happen. Maybe it has happened. But I want to assure you, the Lord does care. He does have it under control. Back to our text, look at verse 38. And he, Jesus, was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Folks, circumstances don't control the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. He's not worried about it. He's in the back of the boat asleep. And since it said the boat was full, and I'm not sure exactly what kind of boat this was. I'm assuming it's one of those, the wood kind you see back, the older ship like that, and ever how deep it was. Well, we know it's full of water because the scripture says. So they had to splash, splash, splash back to the Lord to get to him to wake him up. I don't imagine he's sleeping on the floor. He'd be underwater. So that wouldn't work. So I'm assuming he's up on a bench, on a pillow, and as the things bounce around, maybe the waves splash, splash, and he's just laying there sleeping. Seeming like he's uninvolved. Seeming like he don't care. Folks, that's just how the devil paints this thing. He does care. He is involved. Yeah, amen. In Mark chapter 4, verse 39, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Folks, I love this. Do you realize when he said, peace be still, that the wind had no choice but to stop? The waves had no choice but to stop. And it wasn't a gradual thing. It wasn't peace be still. And it goes, nothing like that. It was like a light switch. Boom, it's over. Amen. By the time he said, peace be still, by the time Eel went across, peace be still, by the time that went across his lips, boom, came over, friend. And I had no choice but to obey the master of the wind. Amen. Well, glory. This is the same God that you and I serve today. Amen. And maybe there's a ratings thing going on in our soul, and allow his spirit to whisper or even command it, ever how he should choose. He's gone. But take the word of God and tell our souls to have peace, peace till today. Get our focus back on him. Hell, amen. Amen. In the parallel account, you don't have to turn there for time's sake, but let me just read a couple of thoughts here out of Matthew. Hold your mark here in Mark 4. But in Matthew 8, verse 25, here's the account from Matthew's eyes. And it says, and his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. We perish means we're going to die. That's what he's saying. Verse 26, and he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? So he asked them this question. The scripture goes on to say, then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Notice the chronology. Master, we perish. He's on the boat, you know, maybe flopping around because it's rolling and splashed with the water, and he kind of opens his eye and sees these men freaked out. With me here? And he says, why are you so fearful? Oh, you have little faith. Then he gets up. Then he gets up and says, peace be still. Did you notice his question? Oh, of little faith. All right, stay with me how this is working. Where does fear come from? The devil, right? Did you realize the fear couldn't get through until their faith was little? Folks, when circumstances shakes our faith, that's when the devil's able to get through with those fiery darts of fear. If their faith was strong, they wouldn't have been freaked out about this. So that's when the devil got a hold of them. I thought, boy, we can learn a lot from this. In the parallel account in Luke chapter 8, here's how it wound down. In verse 23, but as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water. Here again, filled with water, and were in jeopardy. We're in big trouble, Kemosabe. That's what jeopardy means, amen. And verse 24, and they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? Wow, they're acting like they had none. Huh. Back to our text in Mark 4, verse 40. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Again, let's look at this chronology. It's going on. Master, Master, we perish. Master, Master, we're in jeopardy. Master, carest thou not? They're all yelling at him, waking him up. He wakes up and says, why are you fearful? Oh, you have little faith. Stands, peace be still. How is it that you have no faith? Where is thy faith? The whole time he's challenging his men about their faith. Hey, folks, faith is the victory. Somebody should write a song. The word fearful in verse 40. And you don't have to understand Greek to understand the word of God, but I did look it up in the dictionary. And the word fearful in verse 40 means fearful, that's easy, wasn't it? Timid, faithless. So it's interesting that the word fearful in verse 40 means faithless. And one guy I read said cowardly. Oh, ouch. Oh, ye of little faith, How is it you have no faith? Where is your faith? So I thought of a fair question to ask myself, Terry. Where's your faith? I believe it's a fair question to ask the church this morning. Victory, where is your faith? We know the Word of God. Your pastor's a good preacher. He's a good teacher. I know you folks know the Word of God. I know the Word of God. Oh, I don't know all of it. And yeah, I have questions too. But we, for the most part, folks here, we know the Word of God. Agreed? Okay. But we do not believe the Word of God when we're facing the storms in our life. Our boat is being beat the slop out of by the wind and filled with water and begins to sink. Then do we believe the Word of God? Because see, knowing the truth and living the truth, two different things. Everybody with me? This is where we might hear one say, yeah, I believe, but my boat's sinking. Notice, I believe, period, not I believe, but. Oh, I believe but this, or I believe but that. No, I believe but. It's I believe. But all of us have said in our lives, I believe but. In fact, in Mark 9:23, another account, Jesus said unto them, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Same sentence. Have you ever been there? Folks, his daddy that had the possessed child, his boat was sinking. He had gone to the doctors and they couldn't help him. If we read in the passage, he went to the scribes, they couldn't help him. He brought him to Jesus' men and they couldn't help him. He was desperate. Jesus was his last choice of, Lord, I believe, but nothing else has worked, and I believe you, but help my unbelief. You see, he was desperate because the circumstances was rattling him. Have you ever been there? See the difference between learning the truth and living the truth? So I ask me again, self, is my trust in God? Is my trust in myself, or is my trust in my circumstances? See, it's pretty out today. It's kind of cool. The sun's shining. So you ask me today, hey, Brother Terry, you believe in God? You trust him? Oh, yeah, I trust him. Amen. But when my boat's sinking, and this is how men are wired, most of the men I know, especially the ones in this room, okay, we're wired, here's our response. I got this. When our boat's full, you know what we say? I got this. So that would tell me that our trust is in myself. So here's the boat's full, okay? Play with me and pretend. Here's how I handle it myself. Splash, 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 splash. You know, with my hands, I'm trying to bail out the water. Here comes another way. Boom, it's back full again. Say, hey, wait a minute. Give me a head start at least. You know what I'm saying? We don't have anything, folks. It's beyond us. Sometimes the Lord allows us to have storms that we can't fix it just so we depend on Him. Amen? So my trust is in God when the sun's shining. When it goes bad, my natural instinct, I've got this. And he shows me, oh, you don't have this. And it's like, okay, I don't have this. And sometimes our trust is in our circumstances. It's like, hey, I have $15 in the bank. I'm doing good. Amen. And then I get a bill for $50. Where's the other $35 going to come from? Okay, so I'm the only one that's ever stressed before. But I'm just saying, sometimes when we're in the circumstances can cause this kind of stress. Amen? All right, now stay with me here for a second. You see the setting. They've woken the Lord. Why are you so fearful, faithless? Oh, you have little faith. You have no faith. Where is your faith? All right, wait a minute. Interesting thought. Let's rewind just a little bit. Okay. Now, the boat, is it half full of water or full of water? It's full of water. It says two different accounts, filled and full. It's full. Okay? That means it's full. Now, when a boat begins to sink, does the boat have to be full of water before it sinks? Somebody said that the Titanic began to sink when it had 30% taken 30% of water on. So if 30% of the water sank the Titanic wasn't full of water until after it sank. Okay? So in other words, our boat can begin to sink long before full. Okay? Now, so here's the disciples. They're freaked out. Their faith is little. Fear got in. Doubt got in. They even begin to question the Lord's care. With me? So here they're walking through the water that's filled, the boat filled with water. Splash, splash, splash. Carest thou not that we perish? Now wait a minute. Time out. These men were so focused on the storm of the circumstances that they missed the fact of God's sustaining grace, because the scripture never said that the boat was sinking. Have you read anywhere in the account we just gave that the boat sank? The boat did not sink. The Bible doesn't even say it was sinking. You and I jump to the conclusion because we think, full boat, sink. Well, I agree with you. I thought the same thing. But for them to get to the back of the boat's still full. The boat's not sinking. Folks, they missed the sustaining grace of God in the midst of the storms because their eyes was on the circumstance, rattled the faith, here comes the fear, and now they doubt if the Lord even cares. These are His men. So don't tell me that the storm we're in today couldn't do the same thing to God's people today. But I want to remind you, our boat's not sinking. And rather than looking at the circumstances and the riots and the COVID and everything else that's going on, rather than being so rattled out there, let's put our eyes back on the Lord, because His grace is sustaining and we're still here today. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah, folks. God's sustaining grace. Oh, for the record, in Luke 8:26, it says, and they arrived at the country. Amen. They made it. Amen. They made it. Amen. So the disciples readjusted their fear. Look in verse 41. And they feared exceedingly. So they went from being fearful to fearing exceedingly. However, what they did, they went from fearing circumstances to fearing Jesus. Because the word feared exceedingly, the word feared in verse 41 is a different word from the word fearful in verse 40. In verse 40, it meant fearful, timid, faithless. In verse 41, this word fear is our phobia, or ever how you pronounce that, and it means fear, awe, reverence. So what happened? They went from fearing their circumstances to fearing Jesus. Amen. And they feared exceedingly. Here's what happened. He said, peace be still. Boom. Came over. They're like, did you see that? Splash, 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 splash. He's bigger than we even thought He was. Even the wind and the sea obey Him. And they start fearing Him. They start worshiping Him. They stand in awe of Him. They went from fearing their circumstances to fearing Him exceedingly. He's God. He's bigger than we even thought He was. And folks, I want to remind you today that we serve a big God. He's so big, you can't squish Him into 24 hours. Hallelujah for that. And Isaiah, what is it, 55? I got to look here real quick. I think, yes, Isaiah 57, verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. He inhabits eternity. That's present tense. That means clear back over here in the beginning when He said, let there be light. He's still there. And clear on the other side where He's ready to step off into eternity future, He's already there waiting on us to catch up. And the book of Psalms says that He's the very present help in time of trouble. Are we not in a time of trouble? Then the Lord is a very present help. Our God is big. Glory. You can't squish Him in the 24 hours. Verses like Ephesians 3:20. Now to Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. A verse you probably have hung in your house. Isaiah 26:3. And thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden light. Brothers and sisters, let's trust in God. He just may be ready to do something big. Amen. Their circumstances look dire. They're going to perish. They're in jeopardy. They thought they're dying. And that's right at the moment when Jesus done something big. And word of point, I've been praying for an awakening in America now for a long time. Have you? It just may be that through these set of circumstances that God is getting ready to do something big. Amen? And I want to see it. I want to shout him on. I want to have the privilege with these eyes not to just read about big things in the past, but experience them in the present. Woo-hoo! That's the Lord I'm talking about. Amen? Well, y'all didn't have your coffee this morning or something, I'm telling you. Hey, listen, would you join with me in praying for an awakening in America? Would you join with me this morning in praying for revival to spring up in the churches that belong to Jesus Christ across this land? You know, as much as I like Trump and that I'm going to vote for him in November, in case you're asking, I go ahead and tell you. In fact, if we don't, we're going to have a socialist country, buddy. We're in a war right now, okay? But I just want to tell you, our hope's not in the White House. Our hope is in the church house. And 2 Chronicles 7:14 is still in the book. And there's way more than enough people in this room that this week, if we truly got right with God, we came clean and had revival. I'm talking Holy Ghost sent revival here. We have enough to see our nation turn around because of the promises of God. Folks, I believe that. I hear these brothers stand up and say, oh, we're too far gone. We'll never. Why am I on the road? If that's the case, let's go dig a hole in the ground, bury a bus and MREs. That's retarded, folks. It's not time to run. It's time to stand. It's time to just trust God to do something big. Let's see what he's going to do. I want to be part of that. Amen. For some, means you might need to get saved this morning. That's big. You can't save yourself. That's for eternity, folks. We're talking hallelujah there. If you're lost and need to get saved, I encourage you to get saved this morning. Right. Repent of your sin. Call on Christ. Be born again. Amen. And if you're saved already, folks, that means that it might be for some of y'all, just stay faithful. Stay faithful, stay faithful, stay faithful. Just keep serving him in the midst of the storm. Stay faithful in your church attendance. Stay faithful in your Bible reading. Stay faithful in your praying. Stay faithful in your witnessing. Stay faithful in your tithes and offerings. Stay faithful in your faith promise. Stay faithful in serving the Lord. Stay faithful, stay faithful, stay faithful. Amen. It just may be God's about to do something big. Amen. And quite frankly, I'd have to agree with the disciples right here. I believe our God's way bigger than we perceive him as. It blew their minds. Wow, they prayed exceedingly. Wow, they even the wind of the sea obeyed him. I mean, they just had a trip right now. I mean, whoa. Hey, our God's bigger than we perceive him as well. Our God's big, folks. We can trust him. So all stand, please, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. What's that? All right, sir. Every head bowed, every eye closed, everyone standing, please. Ask a couple of questions as we move into the invitation now. Have you been born again? I mean, has Jesus saved your soul? If that be the case, would you mind raising your hand, thanking God for saving you? Amen. Hands all over the place. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Put them down. How many would say this morning, Brother Danford, I've never been saved. I need to get saved. Anybody like that? Anyone at all? Hold your hand way high, Brother Nance. Pray for me. I need to get saved. A prayer won't save you. It can't save you. But I sure will pray for you.